WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Linguist Jeff Nunberg has observed a new style of communication in the business world, something that has raised the art of corporate speak to a new level.
I see these books all the time in the business racks of airport bookstores. They're sort of self-help books for managers. They have titles like The Fifth Paradigm or The One-Minute Toady or Elbow Your Way to Excellence. Their authors are consultants or business school professors with aspirations to becoming the Robert Fulghams and Deborah Tannens of the hiring and firing classes. What's most intriguing about these books isn't what they say, though, but how they look. They're so busy. The chapters are only 2 or 3 pages long, and there's a subheading on just about every paragraph. They're full of lists, particularly lists where the items are introduced by those little black spots called bullets. In fact, the ideal paragraph consists of nothing but a subheading and a bullet list. 6 traits of the visionary executive, 11 steps for implementing cultural change. And they have diagrams, lots of diagrams, not so much for quantitative information as for emphasizing important concepts. When you're writing one of these books, you don't want to make your key points with full sentences like, the more you know, the more you control what's going on around you. What you do instead is you print the word knowledge in 24-point boldface in a box on the left side of the page, and then you run an arrow from that box to another box on the right that contains the word empowerment. Now, a reader who's accustomed to more traditional forms of prose exposition is apt to find this a fairly inefficient way of getting the point across. A picture like this is only worth about 11 words, after all, and it takes up half a page. But then, you really don't want to think of these as books at all. What they are is the transcriptions of slide talks. As you look at them, in fact, you can tell right off they weren't written on word processing programs. They're put together on presentation software like More or Persuasion or PowerPoint. These are the programs that everybody's got running on their laptops in the forward cabin while the folks back in steerage are waiting for the attendants to pick up their dinner trays. They enable you to go from a topic outline to a finished set of 35mm slides without ever once passing through a paragraph of connected prose. They come with every size and shape of text box and border, and a selection of bullets and arrows big enough to reenact the Battle of the Little Bighorn 1,000 times over. Now, it's fair to dismiss the management self-help books as a marginal literary form, but the slide presentation is a genre that we ignore at our peril. Thanks in part to all this software, it's become the most essential form of communication in the modern corporation. No company holds a sales meeting or adopts a new marketing strategy or reorganization plan before the slide carousels have gone through a couple of hundred revolutions. It's the closest thing there is in American life to a pure discourse of power. I hear people say that business people don't trust language, but that's far from the truth. Corporate managers have an almost childlike faith in the incantatory powers of words to make things happen. What makes them uneasy is narrative and exposition. I once watched one of these B-school gurus doing a presentation to an audience of a couple of hundred managers in a darkened hall. He walked back and forth across the stage, manipulating a remote control slide changer in one hand, a laser pointer in the other. He flashed up a slide with a single word dialogue written in a text box alongside a two-headed arrow. Dialogue, he said, from the Greek dia, across, and logos, meaning meaning. Dialogue is where the meaning comes across. The people in the audience nodded. I looked at the slide carousel and at the screen, and I thought of the Tibetan Buddhist and their mantras. They write them on slips of paper and spin them in prayer wheels. They print them on flags and hang them outside their houses so that a benevolent wind can pick up the words and brush them against every living thing it touches. And then I thought, so it isn't the end of language after all, just the end of syntax. Well, that's business.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.